Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from Radio's Yesteryear. Mark LeVernier, your host for an hour of mystery. Later on, Mr. Keen, Tracer of Lost Persons from 1944, but first the Mole Mystery Theater with a case of the four fatal jugglers. An NBC broadcast from November 14, 1947.
And now the Mole Mystery Theater, presented by M-O-L-L-E. Mole, the heavier brushless shaving cream for tough whiskers or a tender skin.
Jeffrey Bond, welcoming you to the Mole Mystery Theater, the program that presents the best in mystery and detective fiction. Tonight's story by Paul Monash, entitled The Four Fatal Jugglers and starring Alan Hewitt, has its own peculiar prescription for mystery. The ingredients? Well, take four people, mix them together lightly in an isolated place, add a dash or two of mutual hatred. Let them juggle that hatred back and forth until it erupts into murder. And you have the four fatal jugglers.
Well, Mr. Barnes, setting the stage for murder. Four fatal jugglers. That makes me shiver to think of it. Just as I shiver a bit to think of a fellow all set to shave tough whiskers or a tender skin without Mole. Yes, when you start juggling that razor in the morning, you want Mole. Because it's smooth. So smooth. It's slick. So slick. It's the smooth, smooth, slick, slick shave you get with M-O-L-L-E. Mole, the heavier brushless shaving cream for tough whiskers or a tender skin. Try it. Mole. And now for tonight's Mole mystery, The Four Fatal Jugglers, starring Alan Hewitt.
Dave, say, I'd like to have a talk with you. Got a moment to spare?
Why, yes, I guess so. What's up?
Step into my office. I've got something to show you.
Okay, be right in.
Well, what's on your mind, Gordon?
Ah, come on in. Close the door. Take a look at what I've got for you.
Well, what do you know? The papers for the Mendoza and Brown case.
That's it, Dave. I worked on this day and night, and now we're ready to take it into court. That's where your job begins. The courtroom, the press, the admirers, the glory.
Oh, you're not going to start in on that again, are you, Gordon?
Start in on what?
An old song and dance about me getting all the glory in this partnership. Me being Dave Copeland, brilliant young attorney. While you... Oh, those tears when you think of it. You sitting here in your office, working, working, working. The brains behind the mouthpiece.
My boy, something's eating you. You were born with a handsome face, a quick tongue, and a well-developed larynx. I have other gifts. Good Lord, Dave, what's wrong with you?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Well, then stop looking at me as if you hate me.
I hate you? Why do you always insist on twisting things around?
Listen, Dave, we've been partners for 10 years. I like you, and I flatter myself that you like me. It's just that, well, we've both had problems. With me, it's been Lydia.
Yes, I know that.
She's been insisting on a divorce. She says she's in love with someone else. It's cruel. It hurts to hear someone you're mad about say that.
Yeah, sure, I know.
And, Dave, I've got a confession to make.
Confession?
About 6 months ago, when Lydia first began to talk divorce, I hired a detective.
Huh?
What's the matter, Dave?
Well, nothing's the matter.
Well, I thought... Well, here's the confession, Dave, and it's a nasty one. That detective told me you were the man Lydia was in love with.
Me?
Oh, I knew it was impossible. You're married. You have a wonderful wife, a great boy. You're not the kind of a guy who would do his friend dirt. When the detective told me, my first reaction... never mind that, Dave. It's all water under the bridge.
What do you mean, water under the bridge? If you suspect me of having anything to do with Lydia...
I told you, I don't think anything of the kind. Oh, Lydia's attractive and all that, but you're my friend, Dave. You're my partner. Oh, look, how about a drink?
No. No, thanks, no.
Look, Dave.
I'm looking.
Are we friends?
Of course we are.
Then friends quarrel, but essentially friends agree. We've been close for a long time, Dave, and I want us to stay that way. So, look, Here's an idea. You know my place on the lake?
I've heard you talk about it.
I'm going up there this afternoon for the weekend. Lydia's got things to do in town, and I thought it'd be a good idea for you to come along.
Well, think of it,
an island right smack in the middle of the lake. Complete isolation. The ducks will be flying over this time of year. We can bring them down in dozens.
But I don't have any stuff here I can take up.
Oh, you go home now, and I'll drive by and pick you up in, say, 2 hours at 5. How's that?
We can even give a guide time.
We can be up there by 7:30, cook ourselves a nice dinner. Ah, the life.
Well, I guess I might as well.
Ah, that's a boy, Dave. You'll love it. I give you my word. You'll never want to get off the island. Gordon Penrose, your brother-in-law.
What do you want?
I want to have a talk with you, Bob. Good long talk.
Well, if it's got anything to do with my sister wanting a divorce, you can save your breath. I'm back of her 100%. And what
you haven't heard my side of the story, Bob, if you'd only listen.
Listen? Yeah, I'll listen. I'll listen to your lie about what you did with the money in Lydia's trust fund.
What do you mean?
I've been checking into your handling of that account. Or I should say your mishandling. Well, you're nothing better than a common thief. And I'm going to see that they put you away like
that. Bob, please. There's a lot to explain, more than I can say over the phone. Look, Bob, I've got a suggestion to make.
Go ahead.
I want you to come up to my place on the island this weekend.
This weekend?
My partner, Dave Copeland.
Oh, him?
Yeah, he's going to be there, but he won't be in the way for long.
Why don't we just get together in town?
Oh, this way we can do some other things. A little hunting, for instance.
Hunting? For what?
Well, for ducks, ostensibly.
Ostensibly?
Did I say ostensibly? I meant obviously. Obviously. Your beloved husband. You remember, Lydia, the man you sometimes see coming and going in your apartment, or at least one of the men.
Ha ha, very funny, Gordon. Just what are you doing home now?
Just want to give you the good news that I'll be away this weekend.
Oh, I'm on the verge of tears.
Yeah, I thought you would be. I'm not deserting you, however. I'm just going up to the island for the weekend with a couple of people you know.
Who?
Interested? Well, one of them is your dear brother, Bob. And the other, no one other than... Say, what rhymes with other... Lover, yes, lover.
What's all this nonsense?
Oh, nothing, nothing. I was just going to mention that I'm also taking up Dave Copeland.
Dave?
He's never been up there, has he?
Well, you and your filthy mind.
Our trained legal mind, my dear. Oh, we're going to have a cozy time, all three of us, sitting around the fire, going out hunting.
Hunting?
Certainly, ducks, things like that.
Oh, no. No, I know.
Oh, Lydia, you don't think... Oh, Lydia, no, how could you?
Why, you... I know what
you're
up to.
You don't have been I. I'm your own husband.
Why, you horrible
oh, Lydia,
person.
How could you? How could you?
David, this is Lydia.
Yes, I know.
I've just spoken to Gordon.
Oh, my dear partner.
He told me you're going up to the island with him.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, Dave, you mustn't go. You can't go up there with him.
Why shouldn't I go?
Because he hates you.
And I hate him, too, so what?
Oh, Dave, I can't.
Now, just a second, Lydia. I told you before, our little affair is over. I can't have you interfering in everything I do.
Dave.
I'm sorry, Lydia, but, well, you know, I've got a family to think of. Now, forget it. I'll be okay.
You idiot. He once told me that if he ever wanted to commit a murder, a hunting accident...
It would be the way he'd do it. Now, just calm yourself, Lydia. Think this thing through.
Think it through?
Yes. Hunting. You know, a thing like that can work both ways. Can't it?
Wait a minute, I'm coming. Lydia, what in the world...
Bob, I had to come.
I'll come in, sis. Now what's up?
Gordon just told me you're going up to the island with him.
Yeah, that's right. And, Dave Copeland's coming along, too. I'm expecting them any minute.
Bob, you can't. You can't let them
Look,
go.
Look, sis, I want to ask you something.
Yes?
About Dave Copeland. I know you're in love with him.
Well, oh, Lydia.
Oh, I get around and hear things. But I also heard something else which disturbs me.
What?
I heard that Dave Copeland has been just kidding you along.
It's a lie.
I heard it from someone I trust.
I don't care where you heard it. It's not true.
I hope you're right, because you're my sister, and the way I feel right now...
Please, Bob. Let's not talk about it.
Well, then it is true.
No, no. Oh, I don't care what's true or what isn't true. Just don't let them go there.
Don't let them go? Why not?
Because Gordon, he wants to use hunting as an excuse, a blind to kill someone.
I thought he made that quite evident. Why, he might even want to kill me.
You?
But don't worry about me. That thing, hunting, it works both ways.
That's what he said.
He? Who, Gordon?
No, yes. Oh, Lord, please, I'm so confused. Just promise me you won't go. That you'll stop Dave from going.
Nonsense, Lydia. I wouldn't do that for anything. After all, a chance like this comes only once in a lifetime.
Drive up to the island, isn't it? Wonderful scenery.
Yeah, what you can see of it. Why don't you slow down, Gordon?
I'm not going so fast. A little over 60, that's all. I generally get it up around 65 or 70 along here.
Crying out loud, Gordon, what's eating you? You're taking these curves on two wheels.
You always want to give it the gas going around curves. Get better traction that way.
Never mind that. Slow it down, will you?
Yeah, this is getting me nervous.
We want to get there by dark. I hate to drive after dark.
Keep this up and you won't have a chance to.
Gordon, have a heart. Take it easy.
My nerves are getting shot. Slow down, will you, before you get us all killed?
Get you killed? You, Bob, my own brother-in-law, and Dave, my partner and best friend in the world?
Now, why would I want to do a thing like that?
Well, this is it.
Yep,
we made it in good time.
It's a miracle.
That's the landing. See the island out there? That's it. Only 100 yards out, but really isolated. Here, boys. This way, down the path here.
Oh, is that how we get out to the island? In that rowboat?
No, not exactly, Dave. We use the canoe. The rowboat belongs to some other people.
I can't go in a canoe.
Why not?
Well, you know I can't swim. Those things can go over.
Dave, you know I'm a good swimmer. Just sit in the middle of the boat and nothing will happen. Am I right, Bob?
I guess so, but I...
And even if it does go over, I can rescue you. Can't I? Well, why don't you guys get settled now? You can bunk in there, and I'll take the cot out here.
You're not going to be comfortable on that.
Ah, sure I am. I even sleep on the floor sometimes. I like to rough it. How about you, Bob? Think you'll like it here?
It looks all right.
Well, go on. You guys stow away your stuff, and I'll fix up something to eat.
Something to eat?
Well, sure. We got to eat, don't we? I'm so hungry, I could eat a horse. How about you, Dave?
Well, I could eat, I guess. But, say, Gordon, let me rustle up the grub, huh?
No, Dave. Let's make that my job. What do you say?
You guys haven't ever had any of my cooking. I'll make you some grub that you'll never forget.
Gordon, I'm the best bachelor cook you ever saw. Just let me handle that skillet.
No, Bob. I've had 10 years watching my wife in the kitchen. I'd like to see what I learned.
Dave, no experimenting on us. I'm the host. It's only fair that I should labor over this hot kerosene stove. Boy, you guys are really casting a horrible reflection on my cooking. The way you act, one would think you're afraid you couldn't survive it.
Dave,
huh?
Come on outside a minute, will you?
What for?
I want to talk to you. Come on.
Okay, Bob. I think I know what's on your mind.
You think so?
Yes. You want to form a defensive alliance against Gordon. You feel the way I do that Gordon has some purpose in bringing us up here. Well, I don't know what he has against me. He's a strange guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I know you're Lydia's brother, and perhaps he blames you for the divorce.
Oh, sure. If he doesn't blame you, that is.
What do you mean?
Skip it, Dave. I know you've been going around with my sister.
Why?
I don't bother to deny it. The only thing I want to know is, what are you going to do about it?
Do about it? What do you expect me to do?
She's getting a divorce. She's setting herself free. What about you?
Now, listen, Bob. I don't see where this is any of your business.
I'm aware of all that. but I'm a few years older than Lydia. And I've been taking care of my sister for quite some time. She's giving up a lot because she thinks she loves you. What about you?
I don't have to discuss this with you.
All right. I think you made yourself clear. I'm going to turn in soon. I'd like to be kind of fresh and steady when we go hunting tomorrow. Good night, Dave.
Bob, wait a second.
Skip it. Bob.
Oh, the devil with him.
Dave.
Huh?
Dave.
Who's that?
Lydia. Good Lord.
I had to come, Dave. I had to stop you.
Stop me?
From getting killed. I rented a car and drove up here. There was a rowboat at the landing.
Well, you just take that rowboat and get off this island.
Dave, no, I can't. I won't go unless you come with me. And if you love me...
I don't love you.
Dave.
I thought I made that pretty clear.
I've been a fool, haven't I? You were just a little bored with your marriage.
So were you. And so we got together. But, good Lord, why does it have to be blown up into some great Shakespearean tragedy? Why can't we just let the whole thing be finished? Over.
Because I'm in love with you, Dave. Or I was.
Well, that's fine. You were, now you're not. Why don't we just be friends? Surely we've got the basis of a friendship.
Friendship? Oh, you think I would ever like you?
No.
No, you just don't understand, do you?
Please, forget it, can't you?
No, I can't. You don't know me. You never have, because you're always so concerned with yourself. No, Dave, no. I'm going to make you as unhappy as you're making me at this moment.
Great Scott, keep it down.
I'm going to make you pay for this.
You sound like something out of a cheap novel.
Cheap? I'm going to make you look cheap. I'm going to make you so miserable you'll wish that... Gordon.
Don't stop on my account. Go on. I like to hear lovers quarrel. Go on, tell him the rest. Tell him you'll make him wish he'd never been born.
Gordon, listen.
Shut up, you. My friend. Go on, dear wife. Finish your farewell address. You mustn't let me interrupt you. I never have till now.
Oh, Lord, how I hate men. All of you.
Oh, now, let's not go to extremes. There are good and bad in every sex, I always say.
You certainly got a peculiar sense of humor.
Hey, what the devil is... Lydia, what in the name of... Your sister decided to pay us a little visit. Very thoughtful of her.
Lydia, I don't know why you've come here. But go back to the city now, do you hear?
Oh, yes, I hear. But I'm not going.
And quite right you are, my dear. We'll put you up in the bunk room, and Bob and Dave and I can sleep in the main room. Your being here with us could enliven what might possibly, but not probably, have been a dull weekend. Oh, yes, Lydia. Now that I think of it, I'm very glad you came. Dave.
Oh, let me sleep. It's too cold.
Oh, I'm sleepy.
You'll feel better in a few minutes. You want to bag a few ducks, don't you?
Okay.
Come on, Bob. Off and on him.
I'm stiff as a board.
Well, we got a fine, exciting day ahead of us. You don't want to miss any of it.
That's right, I don't. What time is it?
5:00.
Oh, no. I'm going to get Lydia up.
What for?
I want to get her out of here.
Oh, you can do that when we come back from hunting.
No, I want to get her out of here right now. Lydia? Lydia?
Better let her sleep. She must be all knocked out. Let her sleep.
Oh, no. Lydia, it's time to get... Lydia? Lydia! My sister. Oh, God.
A knife. Right through her back.
She must have been sleeping.
You ought to know, Gordon.
What do you mean by that, Dave?
That's your knife, isn't it?
Of course it's my knife, but don't be absurd. I didn't kill her. Bob, you don't think I killed her?
Well, Gordon, didn't you?
No, I swear it. Why should I?
Why?
All right. I know what you're both thinking.
No, you don't, Gordon.
I'm going for the police. You stay here with her. I'll go across the lake.
No, you won't. You think we're going to let you make a getaway, Gordon?
I'm not trying to make a getaway, Dave. One of the two of you killed her.
Just stay where you are.
Where the devil did you get that revolver?
I brought it up with me, just in case.
You're not going to keep me here, Dave. Not a victim to your tender mercies. I'm going for the police. If you want to come with me, fine. If not, stay here.
You know I can't swim. You know I can't go in that canoe with you.
There's the rowboat. Come on, if you want.
Gordon, I warn you, don't take another step.
Oh, don't be melodramatic.
All right, Gordon, you asked for it.
You crazy idiot.
Gordon? Gordon? Dave. You killed him.
Bob. You saw he was trying to get away.
Yeah, I saw. We better get out of here, off this island. We'll have to go to the police.
You'll back me up.
Dave, put the gun away, huh?
Oh, yeah, sure. But, Bob, you will tell them just what happened.
Yeah, you can depend on me. I'll let them know everything.
Oh, that's funny. Lydia must have taken the rowboat to get here, but it's gone.
Well, she might have had someone row her. Oh, no, there it is.
Where?
Floating out there. See it near the other shore? Must have gotten loose.
Well, she probably didn't tie it tightly. Poor Lydia.
Yeah, poor Lydia. Well, we'll have to use the canoe.
Couldn't you swim out and get the rowboat?
And waste all that time? You just get up in front, in the bow, and sit steady. We'll be okay.
All right.
Okay?
Okay. Push off.
Bob, I had to shoot him. You know that.
Of course you had to. I'd have done the same thing if I'd been you.
Sure you would. He was getting away.
Call the police.
Yes, that's what he said. Could you imagine him calling the police after...
After what?
After he killed her.
But he didn't kill her.
What?
I said he didn't kill her.
But then... Then that means you did.
Oh, no. It means you did.
You're kidding, aren't you?
Would I kid about my sister's murder? No, you got up in the middle of the night while we were sleeping. It was easy to take Gordon's knife. Oh. I see you still have the revolver.
Yes. And I wouldn't miss at about 8 feet.
Funny, you hold it in your left hand.
So what? I'm left-handed. It's a silly thing to be talking about at a time like this.
Not so silly. You see, if you'll consider the position of my sister's bed in that room and the direction of the stab wound, you'd know that she was stabbed by a left-handed man.
Very neat. And you figured it out all by yourself. Only you're not going to be able to tell anyone else.
You're not going to shoot me.
You think not, huh?
No, you can't. Because if you shoot me, I'll topple over. I'll capsize the canoe, and you can't swim, Dave. You can't swim, and you don't want to drown. That's a pretty horrible way of dying. So now give me the gun. Just throw it on the bottom. I'm going to rock the canoe, Dave. A little more each time, and if you don't throw the gun by the time I count five, I'm going to turn it over. One.
Cut it out. Two.
A little harder, Dave.
Bob, you're wrong.
Three. It's going to go, Dave. You're going to be drowned.
Billy's safe. Stop it.
Four. This is it, Dave. Throw me the gun. Throw me the gun. Here, take it. That's it, Dave. That's showing good sense. Now, a few more strokes, and we'll be on the beach.
Bob, listen.
Shut up. All right, get out.
Huh?
Go on, get out.
Look, Bob. You've got to take my word.
Keep quiet. I'm not interested. You know, you had me scared out there.
Scared?
I thought I'd never live to see you burn for killing Lydia and Gordon. But I bluffed you, Dave.
Bluffed me?
When I rocked the canoe. You see, I don't know how to swim either.
This is Jeffrey Barnes again, bringing down the final curtain on tonight's Mystery Theater presentation of Paul Monash's The Four Fatal Jugglers. Be with us next week to hear a story entitled Check Number B-131.
The original music for the Mystery Theater was composed and conducted by Alexander Semler. Alan Hewitt was starred, and John Sylvester, Charlotte Manson, and Grant Richards featured. Any resemblance between the names and characters used on Mystery Theater and any actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental.
The Mole Mystery Theater, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 14th of November, 1947, on NBC. Alan Hewitt, who was the co-star in that broadcast, would be on radio and all sorts of programs on all three major networks in that year, from the Cavalcade of America on NBC to the CBS program, the Columbia Workshop, and the Radio Reader's Digest, along with his final program of that season, the Ford Theater, where he starred in the play Father, Dear Father. This is an hour of mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for Mr. Keen, Tracer of Lost Persons, with a case of the girl who sang too well. A CBS episode from January 20th, 1944.
Mr. Keen, Tracer of Lost Persons, is on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, the makers of Cavanaugh's toothpaste present Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons, one of the most famous characters of American fiction and one of radio's most thrilling dramas. Tonight and every Thursday night from 7:30 to 8 Eastern Wartime, the famous old investigator will take from his files and bring to us one of his most celebrated missing persons cases. Now, Mr. Keen, Tracer of Lost Persons. Tonight, our story opens in one of the great movie palaces of Broadway, the Palladium, where for 3 weeks the stage presentation has been a sensational success. Skip Gordon's Review, starring Lola Bennett.
My heart tells me I will cry.
As the spotlight cuts across the vast theater to the stage, it falls on a beautiful golden-haired girl, Lola Bennett, singing in the wistful style that has made her a hit overnight.
Come back and take another bow.
Thank you, Sim.
Make a little speech for our audience, won't you?
You've been wonderful to me. I don't know how to thank you.
Hold it, everybody. Hold it. Lola will be back with another song later. Meanwhile, a little novelty number from our orchestra. A special arrangement of that outstanding hit, Pistol Packin' Mama. Take it away, maestro, while yours truly cools off in the wing.
Skip.
Yeah, Joe?
I've been stage manager here 10 years. I've never seen a gal win over a crowd like Lola.
Swell kid.
Wow, what are they doing out there?
Just a pistol sound effect in the number. Don't you like it?
I'll take a blockbuster.
Hey, where is Lola? I thought she'd be here in the wings.
She's ducked back to her dressing room, Skip, to fix her makeup.
Time for Lola to go on again.
Well, I'll run down and knock on her door, huh?
Okay, I'll signal the band to do another chorus meanwhile.
On stage, Lola. On stage.
Well, Joe, what gives?
No answer.
Well, look inside.
She's not there.
But it can't be.
I'll ask the doorman if she went out.
Well, hurry, Joe. Will you hurry?
Hey, Charlie.
Yeah, Joe.
Have you seen Lola?
Nope, not this way.
Lola!
Lola! Lola! Lola! Hey, Lola, baby, where are you? Lola! Where are you?
say, Mr. Gordon, that she hadn't been seen since she disappeared last night?
No, Mr. Keene. In all my years in show business, I've never known anything like it to happen.
You tried her home, Mr. Gordon?
Call me Skip, won't you? Well, sure, we tried her home and no soap. I don't get it, Mr. Keene. Especially since she knew we were going to give her a farewell party, too, after the show.
A farewell party?
Well, it was her last performance with my review. She goes into the Skytop Club this weekend, a star attraction. I made her take the offer.
How do you mean?
Well, I had her under contract ever since I found her singing in Cleveland 6 months ago. The minute she got the right song, she went over like wildfire. Now the Skytop wants her. Well, when they sent her the contract, she showed it to me and said...
No, Skip. I'm not signing that contract.
Oh, don't be crazy, kid. It doubles your pay. Gives you top billing.
Skip, you've been just wonderful to me. You taught me how to dress, to carry myself, to really sing. I'm not walking out on you.
Look, Lola, here's another contract, yours and mine.
Well, you've torn it up.
I'm no jail warden, baby. You're heading straight for the top, and I'm not holding you back. Not on your life.
Skip, that was very generous of you.
Generous, Mr. Keith? I love Lola, even though I've never told her.
Never told her?
She wouldn't even have looked at me. Oh, but find Lola, Mr. Keene. That's all I'm asking. Find Lola.
Well, the place to start is obviously the Palladium where she was last seen. That's a famous old house, as I remember.
Sure. In the old vaudeville days, we used to talk about making the Palladium. When you played there, it meant you were good. Still does.
And Lola made it with this engagement?
3 smash weeks.
All right, Skip. Let's go.
Charlie?
Why, hello, Mr. Gordon.
By the way, Mr. Keene, this is the stage doorman, Charlie Barnes.
How do you do?
Glad to know you, sir. You think you'll find her?
I'll do my best.
A swell little lady.
Incidentally, Charlie, you were on duty last night?
Yes, sir, Mr. Keene.
You're sure she didn't leave the theater?
Well, she couldn't have. Not without creating a riot.
Why?
The place was surrounded with autograph hounds.
Oh. Well, now, Skip, if we could have a look in her dressing room.
Oh, sure, right this way. I told the house manager to leave it exactly the same as it was last night.
Good idea. Thank you, Charlie.
I'm glad to oblige you, Mr. Keene.
Well, Skip, I gather your review is staying on at this theater.
Yeah, another week. With a replacement for Lola. Here we are now. After you.
Thank you. Usual dressing room. Chair, dressing table, wardrobe trunk.
Yeah, that's right.
And telegrams of congratulations. Paste it up on the mirror.
Yeah.
Sing, canary, sing. I love you, I love you, I love you. Repeat it 2 dozen times.
Yeah, the telegrams are mostly from Larry Reeves.
Reeves?
Yeah.
Oh, he's a well-known Broadway playboy, isn't he?
Yeah, with more money than's good for him, too, and more wives. Married 4 times, divorced 4 times.
I gather he wanted Lola for the 5th?
Yeah, been making quite a pitch. Even a smart kid like Lola got to believe in him. They were almost engaged.
Almost?
Yeah, he sent Lola a ring last week. Diamond like a headlight. It'd burn him when Lola sent it back.
I suppose this is her costume trunk.
That's right. Hey, you don't think...
Is there a key around?
Key? There's one on the dressing table.
Oh, we'll try it.
Gosh. I thought for a minute we were going to have a trunk murder.
These are her costumes, Chip.
Yeah, some of them. I remember others.
Oh? Where are they?
Well, I wouldn't know.
Oh, Skip. Hey, Skip.
Now, that's Tommy Toller, my band leader.
Hey, Skip. We start the first show in 10 minutes.
Yeah, I know. This is Mr. Keene.
How do you do?
Oh, how do you do?
Oh, yeah. You said you were going to ask him to. Hey, that reminds me.
Of what, Tommy?
Well, I wanted to mention it before, but I didn't want to talk out of turn.
Well, come on. Give, Tommy, will you?
You know my goofy saxophonist, Harry Thorpe.
Yeah. Harry's had a crush on Lola for months, hanging around and pestering her day and night.
Well, right after you left the stage last night, Skip, and we started pistol packing Mama, remember?
Yeah.
Harry signals me. He whispers he's got to leave the stage. Oh, he looks so crazy. I says, all right. So he slips out behind the drapes.
Very interesting.
And then I don't see him for 15 minutes. And the funny part about it...
What was so funny about it?
Oh, hello, Harry.
What was so funny?
All right. I'll say it right to your face, Harry. You walked off the stage carrying a gun.
We all had guns, phony guns for the pistol packer number.
Now, just a minute. Am I to understand you used guns, pistols, as stage props for the performance of the number Pistol Packing Mama?
Yes, Mr. King. But the rest of us had our guns on stage. He could have had his loaded.
Are you trying to say
if that... anybody wanted to shoot Lola, that was the time to do it. During all that noise.
You skunk.
No, your band leader is right, Ford. It was his duty to tell us. Why did you go off the stage?
Oh, because I felt sick. I wanted to take a pill. I told him that.
Okay,
nothing. One of these days, you'll have to get yourself a new saxophone.
Now, hey, Harry, wait a minute.
No,
now, wait.
Never mind, Skip. And thank you, Mr. Stolen, for this information.
Oh, I figured I had to tell you, Mr. King. That guy's wacky. Well, the curtain's in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'll be there. Mr. King, how does it add up to you?
It doesn't. Yes. Better get along for your performance, Skip.
A performance, yeah. You'll be sticking around.
Right here in the dressing room.
Okay.
Telegram. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Mr. King.
Yes?
I was waiting till the others went away.
But who are you?
I'm just a dresser around here. Take care of the performer's clothes.
Well?
Look, this note. She gave it to me last night. She said that if he came again, I was to give it to him. In the excitement last night, I forgot. You better have it.
Thank you.
Marie! Marie!
Quick, put it in your pocket. That's Larry Reed, Mr. King. You know, the playboy.
Hey, Marie, why didn't you answer when I called?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Reeves. I didn't hear you.
Any word yet about Lola?
No, Mr. Reeves, nothing.
Who's this? Anybody? Can't be. I don't know. Thank you. Gold digger, she's going to run out on me.
She's not a gold digger.
Shut up.
I won't have you talk that way about her.
I know a kind, playing hard to get. Come and find me. When I do, I'll wring her little neck. Break every bone in her body.
Oh, he's just awful, that Mr. Reed. Thinks that for money he can have anything. But Miss Bennett's not his kind.
What about this note?
She said to give it to him if he came around again to bother her.
She was expecting him last night?
Every night. The doorman was told to keep him out, but there's a way of coming through the front of the house, Mr. King.
Oh, I see.
Don't open that note here, please, sir.
Very well. And if Mr. Skip Gordon asks for me, tell him I went back to my office. I'll have you know, Miss Ellis, I don't make a practice of reading other people's mail.
But good heavens, this is a matter of life or death, perhaps. Oh, come on, what does it say?
Well, I'll read it. Dear Larry, I've sent back your ring, and that must end it. In my 26 years, I've found there is one quality in people that I cannot stand, selfishness. It once cost me a terrible lot, the worst years of my life. If I married you, it would be the same all over again.
Well.
So it must be goodbye. And please stop threatening me because it won't work. Lola.
Well,
Mr.
King.
Selfishness. The worst years of my life. What does it mean?
Yes, what?
As a matter of fact, Miss Ellis, we know almost nothing about Lola Bennett. Skip has known her only 6 months, and she's never talked of the past.
Well, what's the difference? This note points straight to Reed.
And other evidence points to Forbes, the musician. No, I've got to know a whole lot more about that girl. There's only one way to find out.
How?
You know the weekly newspaper Footlights?
Oh, sure, the Bible of show business.
Well, I'd like my Clancy to go back through their files and dig up every single mention that was ever made of Lola Bennett.
Right, Mr. Keene. Now get hold of Mike at once.
Well, here you are, boss. I got three back numbers of Footlights that mention her.
Oh, thanks, Mike.
The first goes back about 8 years, when she was just a kid.
A review of a vaudeville act that opened in St. Paul. Lily, the song and dance man. The reviewer says, a strictly mediocre act that may do for the sticks, but will never make the palladium.
Now, this paragraph here.
Accompanying Billy was a pretty little stooge called Lola Bennett, who had nothing to do but be sung at.
Now look at the second paper, Mr. King.
84 years later, from Akron, Ohio. Now, the act is called Billy and Lola. About this minor league vaudeville act that premiered here last night, nothing much can be said for or against the male hostility.
But the little blonde who shared the bill, Lola Bennett, showed unusual promise. Two of her numbers, sung with refreshing sincerity, brought down the house.
Very interesting. Read that third item, boss. It goes back just 2 years.
Now the act is called Lola Bennett and Billy.
Right.
One of the most novel fan singers heard in these parts lately opened last night as a star. Voice full of honey and captivating personality. Should go far with the right training. The act was completed by a novelty instrument number from Billy. Different, but was it good?
Boss, what do you make of it?
The old story of show business. The pupil outgrowing the master. Lola made the palladium, but Billy never did.
Billy, whoever you are. That's your private phone, boss.
Hello?
Hello.
Keen Company.
Keen, this is Harry Forbes. You know the saxophone player?
Yes. Good afternoon, Mr. Forbes.
I'm going to talk straight out. I want you to lay off me.
But, my dear fellow...
Don't try to put Lola's disappearance on me. I had nothing to do with it.
How did you ever get my private phone number?
From Skip Gordon, and I've warned him, too. Lay off me or else.
Or else what?
Lay off me, that's all.
You hear any of that, Mike?
No, I did. A maniac. But don't you think that he... Well, with the suspicions we got...
Oh, never mind. I want to follow another lead now.
Well, sir...
Each of these reviews mentions other acts that appeared on the same bill, Mike. I'd like to find some of those other people.
It'll take a lot of digging.
But it may give us very valuable information. Try the booking agencies, Mike, and the Actors Hotel at once.
Okay, I'm on my way.
Well, nice, Mr. Keene, that somebody remembers me after all these years out of show business.
I gather, Mrs. Hall, that you once had a comedy act?
Wasn't much, but it made folks laugh.
On at least one occasion, you played the same theater with a song and dance man called Billy.
Billy? Sure. Kind of a sour puss.
Why do you say that?
Well, had his heart set on getting to Broadway. Wasn't good enough.
What was his surname, Mrs. Hall?
Surname? Billy, that's all he was ever called.
You remember his partner?
Oh, sure. Lola Bennett. He hired her in St. Paul after his regular partner walked out on him. She's doing fine, you see.
But what's become of Billy?
Billy? Oh, well, I couldn't tell you.
Yes, Major Tiny. I'm looking for an old performer called Billy.
I remember him, Mr. Keene. My midget act trooped all over Canada with him one winter in a unit show.
Really?
My, but what his wife had to put up with.
Wife, did you say?
Yes, Lola Bennett.
Oh, they were married.
2 years by then, but they weren't happy. Billy was so jealous.
Of the fact that she was becoming more successful than he?
Well, that's right, Mr. King. He took to drink. Actually, beat her up one night. I tried to stop him.
Oh?
He threatened to walk on me. Oh, a bad character.
What was his surname?
I never knew.
Would you have a photograph of him?
No, sir.
Well, thank you. Still one more chance.
Sure, I know him, Mr. King. When I was hooking on a Jackson circuit, I used to do a soft shoe number like this.
Charming, Mr. Foley, charming.
Yeah, but strictly passe. I'm working up a new routine now, like this.
If I may be so rude, Mr. Foley.
Yeah?
How were they getting on when you knew them?
Oh, terrible. You see, the booking agents were thumbs down on him.
Why?
Well, they said he grabbed the act. The ball and chain. The guy tried everything. He even worked up a novelty, a solo, and a song on five different instruments. You know, one after the other. Still no soap. But Lola stuck by him. Much good it did her. Guy was a maniac. Talking crazy all the time about making a palladium, hitting Broadway. Well, it got so bad, he finally had to divorce him.
I see. By the way, what instruments did he play in that novelty number?
Clarinet, fiddle.
The saxophone, too?
Yeah, saxophone, all right. Yeah, that was his best.
Would you, by any chance, have a photograph of him?
A photo? Let's see, once in Buffalo...
Yes?
We all gave a hospital benefit, and the newspapers took photos.
Could you find that photograph?
Well, now if I dig around in my press book, I might. Let's have a look.
Keene and Company.
This is Skip Gordon, Mr. Keene.
Oh, good morning, Skip.
I haven't heard from you in days. Any news, Mr. Keene?
There may be tonight. I can reach you at the Palladium still?
Yeah, we're on for the rest of this week. You know, I got some news for you.
Really?
Harry Forbes, the saxophone player, walked out of the band last night, and we can't locate him.
Hmm.
That puts the finger on him, I guess.
It would certainly look like that.
If he's the guy, if he's harmed Lola in any way.
Well, Skip, to be perfectly frank, I'm afraid somebody has harmed her.
King. Who? How?
I'll probably have the answer for you tonight. Meanwhile, I must use the phone for a very important call.
Okay. See you tonight.
Hello?
Guy Stuff Club.
Good. I'd like very much to talk to your manager. Good evening, Charlie.
Good evening, Mr. Keene. Any luck yet locating Lola Bennett, Mr. Keene?
Yes and no.
I don't get it.
In a few minutes, a package may arrive here at the Palladium for me. Ask the delivery man to wait before bringing it in. I want to talk to him.
Yes, sir.
Meanwhile, where's Mr. Skip Gordon?
On stage, introducing a number.
By the way, Charlie, the night that Miss Bennett disappeared, was anything moved out of here?
No, sir. But something came in. Some prep for our next stage show.
I see.
Well, Mr. Gordon should be coming off the wings any minute now.
A new singer?
Yeah, replacing Miss Bennett. But not half as good.
Oh, I see Mr. Gordon there now.
Hello, Mr. Keene.
Hello, Skip.
Well, what's the word?
Skip, you may have to brace yourself for really bad news.
Dead, huh? Dead.
Yes, I'm afraid so. The final sacrifice to a very selfish man.
Oh, Forbes, Reeves, I'll kill whoever it was.
Steady, Skip. We'll see that justice is done. Lola was such a swell kid. Time for you to go on stage again, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, the show goes on.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's your master of ceremonies again. About to introduce the rip snorting arrangements of the hits of the season. Pistol, Pack, and Mama.
Oh, Mr. Keene.
Mr. Keene. Yes, Charlie, I'm coming.
The delivery man came. He's waiting for you.
Good, Charlie. I'll walk back with you.
If you want any help bringing it in, I...
All that noise. Come, let's find a quiet place. Go into this dressing room.
No. No. This was Miss Bennett.
You don't believe in ghosts, Charlie.
Why, what do you mean?
Charlie, look at this wardrobe trunk with Miss Bennett's costume.
Oh, what about it?
He really had two trunks.
Two?
And when the express company came that night to deliver a certain crop, somebody ordered one of the trunks taken away.
Where to?
The address was already labeled on, just as on this one. It was sent to the next place where Miss Bennett was engaged to sing, the Skytop Club.
Who was responsible for that?
It's no mystery to me any longer. A very jealous man, a former husband.
What?
I'm going to produce him in a minute. You stay here.
I'm staying nowhere.
Oh, yes, you are. I'm going out now to have the delivery man bring in that package for me.
Listen, Keene, I'm not staying.
You're going to watch me open Miss Bennett's second trunk, the one that went to the Skytop Club. I'm having it brought in.
I'm watching nothing.
We'll open the trunk right here in our dressing room. Just between ourselves, there are police stationed at every exit. The killer will never get out of this theater.
You found her in the trunk? Let me out of here.
No, you're staying right here. I'm locking you in this festival.
Mr. Keene.
Oh, hello, Skip.
I came off for a breather while the band is playing. What's that?
Skip, my boy. It's too bad that Lola didn't meet somebody like you years ago. Unfortunately, the man she did once marry was insanely jealous and possessive. He couldn't bear to see her succeed where he had failed. She tried her best to help him, but... Well, I'd like you to know this much, Skip. She loved you for your generosity. She valued you above anybody in the world.
But who killed her? Who was the man?
A man she ran into again the moment she reached this theater 3 weeks ago.
Those pistol shots.
Didn't you notice something peculiar then, Skip?
What do you mean?
One shot was nearer than any of the others.
Jeepers, creepers, you mean?
It came from this dressing room.
Quick, get that door open.
Charlie, the doorman.
He shot himself.
Dead as a doornail. Mr. Keene, was he the guy?
Yes. Her former husband. That's the way he killed Lola that night. He fired the pistol during the band number.
Charlie, a doorman.
An old and disappointed performer. He made the Palladium with the most tragic performance of his life.
And so ends the case of the girl who sang too well. Listen next week at the same time as Mr. Keene brings us another of his baffling cases, The Man Who Didn't Come Home.
Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons, on Tuned 2 yesterday from January 20th, 1944 on CBS. And that wraps up this hour of mystery on Tuned 2 yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for listening.